Political London Playbook, Allies Turn on Corbyn. Day 4 of Boris, Brexit Compromise at Last? By Jack Blanchard. Send tips here, subscribe for free, view in your browser. Good Thursday morning. Driving the day. Scoop, Corbyn must back down or face split, day 4 of the improbable week in which both Britain's main political parties collapsed into race-fueled civil wars, and Playbook's attention swings back to Labour. My Politico colleague Tom McTague reports this morning that Jeremy Corbyn's most powerful and influential allies will force him to back down in the bitter anti-Semitism row consuming Labour. Or overrule him at a crunch meeting of party chiefs next month. Corbyn is being warned that the grassroots group momentum that propelled him to power, and at least one of the major trade unions that have kept him there, now stand ready to break decisively with the leader if he does not back down. It is the first time Corbyn has faced such serious pressure from his own power base. TikTok, Labour's ruling National Executive Committee, NEC, meets September 4, the day before Labour MPs plan to hold their own symbolic vote on whether to adopt the internationally recognised definition of anti-Semitism, which Corbyn has thus far resisted. It is shaping up to be quite the showdown. According to one senior party official, with the support of the main trade unions and momentum, there is now a majority on the NEC to force Corbyn's hand should he refuse to back down, McTague reports. The party official tells him that it has come to this as a total disaster. It could cost the Labour Party the next election. But, under this level of internal pressure, Corbyn looks certain to give way before the month is out. A senior official close to the Labour leader tells Tom, "My view now is we are going to move, significantly, making the concession, with all of the examples of anti-Semitism required by the international definition. I'm confident that we will. It's a matter of the choreography." Second source, Tom's story is backed up by this morning's Jewish News, which splashes on the line that Momentum director John the Landsman has been personally lobbying Corbyn to back down over the definition of anti-Semitism. John Landsman has for weeks been lobbying Labour's leadership to adopt the international definition of anti-Semitism with all its examples, reporter Justin Cohen writes. Sources close to the Momentum founder told Jewish News that he regretted the fact Jeremy Corbyn's Guardian article lacked a firm commitment to include all 11 examples in the party's code of conduct. Read the full story. Cranking up the heat, in some ways this is just the latest manifestation of a wider split down the Labour left, which has been bubbling along for some time. Blogger Jade Azim wrote a piece for the Labour List website yesterday, now causing much consternation among Corbynistas, suggesting the new battleground for Labour's soul is between the Landsmanites, sensible, and the cranks, less so. The angry backlash is being led by the Squawk Box, among others. Azim doesn't much care. Speaking of Labour splits, a second big one is looming at the Labour conference next month, when activists and some trade unions plan to press Jeremy Corbyn to soften his Brexit stance further by backing a referendum on the final deal. The Sun's Steve Hawkes reveals today that campaigners hope to sign up 300 constituency Labour parties to back the move. Expect this row to dominate in Liverpool next month. Back to anti-Semitism, The Telegraph goes after Shadow Chancellor John McDonnell today for accusing Israel of attempted genocide for its attacks on Palestinians in Gaza. You'll be surprised to hear he is not backing down. The other race storm. Only thing worse than being talked about, Boris Johnson finds himself on a mere 6 front pages this morning. Slightly down on yesterday but still not bad going given he wrote the offending article on Sunday and hasn't uttered a word since. He was also leading the BBC News at 10 last night, suggesting the row over his burqa comments may yet extend into a fourth day at least. Boris himself has been on holiday in Europe all week, and must be watching this whole episode from afar with mild amusement. Also watching with amusement, everyone who saw Labour MP Rupa Hook's sensational impression of Boris on Channel 4 News last night. Watch it here, this one is essential viewing. And yes, she really did say that. Accident or design, Playbook wondered idly yesterday if Boris really intended any of this furor when he filed his column on Sunday evening. And the answer comes back loud and clear today via one of his old comment editors at The Telegraph, Ian Martin. Planning more than 5 minutes ahead is not how Johnson rolls, Martin writes in The Times today. Many was the Sunday evening when the poor sap on duty would have to wait until the final moment, with the presses ready to run, for the delivery of Johnson's column. What arrived was usually what one fellow former member of the Guild describes as a highly entertaining shaggy dog story built around a germ of a political idea, with jokes attached. great fun, and a bit flea-bitten, but hardly the work of Machiavelli. Also not plotting, Downing Street, which is pushing back hard at Brexiteer suggestions that Theresa May is reveling in this latest opportunity to put the boot into Boris. The idea we wanted this row on the front pages all week just as Labour was busy imploding is bonkers, a number 10 source tells Playbook. The clip with the PM where she was asked about this was already set up, because she was in Scotland on a visit. We could hardly stop them asking about it. Do they really think we wanted to spend our time in Scotland being chased around by questions about Boris? But that's not to say some of Boris' older enemies aren't enjoying the chance to twist the knife. George Osborne's leader column in last night's Evening Standard was pretty brutal considering the two men were literally arm-in-arm at the Speccy party just a few weeks ago. Dominic Reeve also sounded like he was enjoying rounding on the former head of Vote Leave. Though his threat to quit the party if Boris ever becomes leader may have been somewhat counterproductive. Before I couldn't think of a single reason why Boris should be PM. One Tory MP texted Playbook last night to say, Dominic Reeve has changed all that. Where do we go from here? Nowhere, most likely, with The Sun's Tom Newton Dunn reporting that Tory chairman Brandon Lewis is sitting on dozens of complaints against Johnson but refusing, thus far, to take action. Team Boris sounds positively gleeful, with one source telling TND. They've picked a fight with Boris but they don't want to finish it, in case he is found innocent and wins. Another good reason for inaction, the Tory grassroots appear to be on Boris' side on this one. And it's hard to see how taking any sort of disciplinary action would end well for the current leadership. The Guardian's Pippa Crerar has been speaking to party activists, who are already siding with Boris over Theresa May when it comes to Brexit. Remember, and the message comes back loud and clear. The members know how he operates, and they like it, one senior activist tells her. The grassroots talk straight, and polishing everything with Westminster speak is not the way they do it. It won't do him any harm. A Tory association chair adds, he's just saying what many people think. Boris is not the only one to feel uncomfortable about the way some Muslim women dress. More support for Boris, The Times leads its coverage on an eye-catching letter from a prominent British imam who says Johnson should not apologize for telling the truth, and in fact did not go far enough in his criticism. Taj Harji, the imam at the Oxford Islamic congregation, says burqas are not true Islamic dress and part of a toxic patriarchy controlling women. He adds, the burqa and niqab are hideous, tribal, ninja-like garments that are pre-Islamic, non-Quranic and therefore un-Muslim. And he says Britain should follow France, Denmark and other European countries in issuing an outright ban. Read the full letter here if you have a Times subscription. UKIP vs. Spurley. Meanwhile, UKIP's new director of comms Chris Hicks, in his second month of the job, has dived headlong into the party's war with Kay Burley by sending an angry letter to Sky News demanding an apology. Good luck with that. World of Brexit. Pound in your pocket. Several papers go big on the tumbling value of the pound on the back of the growing threat of a no-deal Brexit, with The Guardian splashing the story this morning. It's hard to see how matters will improve in the coming weeks as the government starts publishing its long-awaited advice papers on how businesses and the public should be preparing for no-deal. Playbook here's the latest plan, though still not finalized, is to publish the documents in two tranches, at the end of August and then in early September. Calm down everyone, a government source who has read about half of these documents tells Playbook they are not quite the explosive fodder we've all been anticipating. Honestly, it's not terribly exciting, the official said. Lots of it is quite technical advice. Lots of it is already out there. I'm sure the press will find something to get hold of. But it really is pretty dry from what I've seen. We shall see. Meanwhile in Brussels, potentially big news for Brexit watchers buried in the Times page 4 lead, with news of a possible compromise looming on a Brexit deal this autumn. The Times has learnt that European leaders are preparing to negotiate a deal that would let Britain remain in the single market for goods while opting out of free movement of people. Oliver Wright, Dominic Walsh and Bruno Waterfield report. Member states have let it be known that they could abandon one of the bloc's ideological red lines in return for more Brexit concessions from Theresa May. They expect her to replicate all new EU environmental, social and customs rules in addition to those set out in the Chequers white paper. Showdown in Austria, The Times says the potential trade-off will be tabled at next month's informal summit in Salzburg, which is now shaping up to be another of those big moments in the Brexit saga. The proposal is modeled on Jersey's existing relationship with the EU, which has long been pushed by UK officials as an example of a third country enjoying single market status for goods. It marks the first significant divergence between the public position stated by Michel Barnier, the EU's chief Brexit negotiator, and the European Council, The Times notes. But the paper says it would also involve the PM shifting closer to Europe on customs, threatening future trade deals, and pledging to sign up to future EU environmental and social protections, none of which would go down well with Tory Brexiteers. I saw me yesterday, a true Romaniac has quit his job to drive around Europe in a van spelling out Stop Brexit on a massive GPS map of the continent. The new European got the scoop. Today in Westminster. Power to the people, ministers have today unveiled their new civil society strategy, which is promising new powers to local communities on local planning and spending. It's all a bit vague at this stage, but ideas being floated include for citizen juries to scrutinize key local council decisions and potentially veto plans they are unhappy with. Six areas will run year-long trials to see if direct democracy proves popular among local communities. More here from The Sun. Stats dump. A load of new stats are due at 9:30 a.m. including annual fire and rescue statistics for the year ending March 2018, drink drive casualty statistics for 2016, and monthly figures on A&E attendances, waiting times and patient referrals. Gratuitous holiday snaps of the day. Labour Deputy Leader Tom Watson is holidaying on the Med this week with well-made vodka martinis, a pal with a fabulous beard and a new €10 hat. Which reminds me. Anyone admiring Watson's nice-looking holiday shirts should be advised, they may not be his own. The Labour chief told Playbook the other week that he's lost so much weight over the past 12 months, an incredible 6.5 stone at last count, that none of his clothes fit him anymore. "Everything I'm wearing was given to me," Watson said with a grin. "Someone brought me round all these old clothes in two big bags." But there's no sign of the legendary Watson diet plan ending anytime soon. "I feel like I've only just got started," he said. Playbook awaits the Christmas DVD with bated breath. Less successful holiday news, Watson's old mate Michael Duffer, a former Labour MP who now heads up UK Music, has had to fly home from a road trip round the south of France after smashing the gearbox in his car. "You know the nagging feeling you have when you come back from holiday, that you've left something behind?" Duffer tweeted yesterday. "A phone charger plugged into the bedroom wall perhaps? Some swim shorts inadvertently left on the dryer? Well, in our case it was a Vauxhall Zafira." More foreign travel. MPs on the Commons Environmental Audit Committee are headed for the Arctic later this month to see the impact of plastic pollution and climate change. The Mirror has a nice tale this morning about one of the committee's members, Labour MP Anna McMoran. Her journey will mirror that of her late father Ian, who was on the British Antarctic Survey nearly 60 years ago. He died last year. "My trip pales into insignificance compared to his. But it will be really interesting to get even the tiniest little glimpse of the kind of environment that my father was in," she tells Deputy Political Editor Ben Glaze. Army prosecutions. A former head of the armed forces, Edwin Bramwell, has written for the Daily Telegraph today attacking the ongoing investigation of British soldiers for their actions in Northern Ireland. "In the interests of justice, fair play and even-handedness, the government must, by whatever means, put a stop at once to this macabre charade," he writes. Media Round. Today program, Sports and Civil Society Minister Tracy Crouch, 8:30 a.m. BBC Breakfast, Sports and Civil Society Minister Tracy Crouch, 7:40 a.m. Reviewing the papers tonight, BBC News, 10:45 p.m. and 11:30 p.m. TV presenter John Stapleton and Labour peer Joan Bakewell. Sky News, 10:30 p.m. and 11:30 p.m. Editor of politics.co.uk Ian Dunt and libertarian writer Claire Fox. Today's front pages. Click on the publication's name to see its front page. City AM, audit giants muscling in on law firms. Daily Express, energy bill hike will put lives at risk. Daily Mail, Tories at war over Burqa Row Boris. Daily Mirror, the pariah, 15 top Tories condemn Boris Burqa insult. Daily Star, pervert targets Cory Starrs. Financial Times, Riyadh dumps Canadian assets in fury at attack over activists' arrest. HuffPost, self-service NHS. Tory civil war at prospect of Johnson in number 10. Metro, maiming of NHS nurse. The Daily Telegraph, Burqa is no different to wearing a crucifix, Davidson. The Guardian, pound slides as no-deal Brexit fears prompt global sell-off. The Independent, Windrush pain goes on, scores of families still in limbo. The Sun, exclusive, midwife accused beaten up in jail. The Times, US to sanction Russia over Skripal poisoning. On the Continent, read what the rest of Europe's papers are saying in Politico's EU Press Review blog here, updated daily at around 8 a.m. Today's News Mags. New Statesman, the rise and fall of Islamic State. The New European, dig for Brexit, how to survive no deal. The Spectator, the new narcissism, modern men want to be vain and virtuous. Beyond the M25. From Northamptonshire. Bankrupt, Northamptonshire County Council will hold a full council meeting today to discuss a radical cost-cutting plan after the authority was effectively declared bankrupt. It comes as local Tory MP Andrew Lewer breaks ranks with the official government line to suggest Whitehall cuts were partly to blame for the cash crisis. A culture of poor performance and decision-making in Northamptonshire fueled the current crisis. But there are bigger, national drivers that also have a significant bearing on the position of not only Northamptonshire, but other local authorities too, he said in a letter to Communities Secretary James Brokenshire. The Guardian has more. From Brussels. Noisy neighbors, Brussels residents are irritated with the endless traffic, building works, motorcades and other baggage that comes with hosting the EU in their city, Politico's Maya de la Baum reports. Many deride the quarter of the city housing the EU institutions as a noisy ghetto for high-handed, white, overpaid, tax-exempt bureaucrats who show little interest in the country they inhabit, she writes. The frustrations go the other way too, with EU workers complaining of bafflingly overzealous Belgian bureaucracy combined with less than enthusiastic customer service. Whether the caricatures are fair or not, they add up to a serious relationship problem. From DC. Trump vs. Putin, big boost for Theresa May last night as the US said it would impose fresh sanctions on Russia over the nerve agent attack in Salisbury. In a statement released last night, the US State Department said it was now convinced Russia has used chemical or biological weapons in violation of international law and would be taking action later this month. The sanctions will be ramped up further this autumn if Russia does not give reliable assurances there will be no repeat attack, and allow on-site inspections by the United Nations. Politico has the story. From anywhere but Dublin. Wind beneath the wings, Ryanair's low-cost model relies in large part on its employment contracts being governed by the laws of Ireland. But its employees are determined to change that. Same Saeed has more. London Culling. Westminster weather, sunny with clouds and showers. Sunny with clouds and showers, sunny with clouds and showers. Proper, actual rain showers, and spells of sunshine. Obviously, throughout the day, with highs of just 17°C, you may even need some sort of coat. Travel, severe delays on the Central Line, plus the Metropolitan Line Baker Street to Aldgate and the Piccadilly Line Acton Town to Uxbridge. Spotted, Tory grandee Michael Heseltine having lunch at the Caxton Grill near St. James's Park yesterday. Sore heads, outgoing Mail on Sunday editor, and incoming Daily Mail editor, Geordie Gregg had his farewell drinks last night. Media moves, The Guardian star interviewer Deck Aikenhead is joining the Sunday Times magazine later this year. Which seems like a good excuse to revive her fabulous 2017 takedown of Downing Street's shoeless wonder Steve Hilton. Which has so many good lines in it we don't know where to start. Launching tonight, Film 4's annual summer season of outdoor film screenings kick off tonight in the grand surrounds of Somerset House. The first couple of nights are already sold out. But there's plenty of good stuff coming up over the next fortnight at a venue which is only 20 minutes stroll up the river from Parliament. Playbook can heartily recommend 20 Feet from Stardom, a terrific feature-length documentary about backing singers who never quite make it to the top. They're also showing Being John Malkovich next Monday night, David Lynch masterpiece Blue Velvet later in the week, and U.S. civil rights drama Selma the week after. Full program here. Coming attractions, The Mail's diary points out that Labour MP Jess Phillips is on the writing team for a new musical called Women in Power, set in ancient Greece. The country is in political turmoil, the preview blurb says. Recent wars and alliances have left Athenians no option but to take the most extreme action. The most radical, a government of women. Performances start in Southampton next month. More details here. Happy birthday, Wigan MP Lisa Nandi, Stevenage MP Stephen McPartland, John Craig. Sky News Chief Political Correspondent, British High Commissioner to Fiji Melanie Hopkins. Belated happy birthday, Guardian columnist Owen Jones, it was yesterday. And very belated happy birthday, it turns out, to this house playwright James Graham, whose birthday is apparently July 7th, not August 7th, apologies for the false alarm in yesterday's playbook. Playbook couldn't happen without my editor Zoyashev Palevich. Subscribe to the Politica newsletter family. Brussels Playbook, London Playbook, Sunday Crunch, Brussels Influence, DC Playbook, all our Politico pro-policy morning newsletters.